developing the qualities of devotee from there and now. Because I was reading in Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, where Krishna describes how much he is pleased when a devotee has certain qualities, he names the qualities. This quality, that quality, the other quality, he says that such a devotee is very dear to me. And then this quality, that quality, the other quality, the other quality. Just a soul is very dear to me. And the government is very dear to me. And the government is very, very dear to me. So, when you hear that, then it's, we're not, if we're in a position, envy, we're in a position of thinking, gee, I have a pity. Meaning, I wish it wasn't another person, I wish it was me instead. But a devotional inspiration is, wow, one day maybe Krishna will say, such a longing, very, very true. Wouldn't that be nice? Krishna smiled, big smile, and said, you are very, very true. Wouldn't that be nice? If the inspiration of love is to please the Lord, there's a thing in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's several places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya describes the principal characteristics of the Vaishnava. One situation where after the devotees had spent 4 months with Lord Chaitanya, they went for Adiyatra, they stayed for the rainy season, and they were going back to their respective places. And according to their locale, their place of origin, Lord Chaitanya would call them and call this group and call that group and would bring them before him and he would give them imparting inspiration so they could sustain their life. In other words, 8 months ago they came back again to 40 and that's about the year after year in the next 40. Same for 4 months. The same sweet drama of Lord Chaitanya receiving them came at some time. And then the deep sorrow of the time. So one time, the residents of Queen Trump, they approached his family with the following question. They said, we're very meager personalities. You know, we're householders, we're not renunciates. We're not very learned, we're very simple people. And we don't even know what is our duty in life. We're householders. What's the duty of a householder? Talking to householders and brothers here. What's the duty of a householder? Lord Chaitanya's answer was, two things. Whenever possible, chant the holy name of the Lord. Chant the holy name of the Lord constantly if you can. Chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. And whenever you have the opportunity, serve the devotees of the Lord. That's the duty of household. That's great. So then, he was sitting on his palm, he said, please tell me who is the devotee of the Lord. On 3 occasions, he asked the same question, and each year, successively, Lord Chaitanya gave a different answer. Who is the devotee? He gave the definition of a devotee who is in the beginning stage, devotee who is in the intermediate stage, and devotee who is in the advanced stage. The beginning stage, Lord Chaitanya says, one who chants the holy name even once, can be considered devotee. So, all those people at the boathouse, when they came in, remember, pushing them, then to take them to the basket, and they were all, hardball. They're devoted. They're hardball devoted. They don't even know what they're saying, but they're chanting. Harim, the name of the Lord. Because that's what Harim, goal means. Chant Harim. And Harim is the name of God. So they're chanting God's name, just by seeing them. The next year, Lord Chaitanya said, when I asked who was devotee, he gave the intermediate stage of devotion. And he left in our Adhikari Vaishnav. A devotee, Lord Chaitanya said, is one who worships the Supreme Personality of God and makes friends with other devotees, gives compassion to the innocent and avoids the non-devotees. And the third time, he said, a devotee is one who, when they think of the holy name, their mind immediately goes to Krishna, and their body erupts in transcendental ecstasy and love of God. That's a devotee. That's the top of the name of devotion. And another time, Lord Chaitanya was giving a definition of who is the devotee. He said, asat-samyatya, e-vaiṣṇava-cā. Asat means impermanence. Sat and asat. Not the same as the same problem, not problem as the same, etc. Chapter 2, Bhagavad-gītā. Uvayo-bhāvi, Krishna, asat-samyatya-darshī. Atat-darshī, the seer of the truth, knows the difference between sat and asat. Asat is temporary, and sat means eternal. So, asat, sangha, kya, what a Vaishnava charm, the behavior of the devotee is when one gives up the association of worldly people. That is quality of the devotee. We read it in chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, one of those, he is very dear to me, description. It is a description of what Rupa says about me, that soul who very carefully avoids unwholesome association. We're friendly to everyone, but we avoid intimate contact with unwholesome personalities. Because when there's contact with unwholesome personalities, even a good person can become corrupted. Or Prabhupada once described, and if you think about it, it's true, that every time you see some bad contact, you can face back and back and back and you'll find there's some bad association. So I'm thinking of describing a little bit. Distinction between wholesome and unwholesome association by using the example of the Europe. This is Mahabharata. But it's also Srimad Bhagavatam because the description of the Europe and his pilgrimage is the intrigue in the palace and the beating of the palace. And why he left the palace and what his feelings were is a very, very wonderful lesson about how to deal with bad association. how to deal with being insulted when you're in the company of the staff association, and how to not feel insulted at all, being insulted in culture. Again, that's 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that one should be indifferent or should tolerate insult. Tolerate is not like grit your teeth. The tolerating just means that matra sparsha sukhamdeya sukhoshna sukha dukhata atma paimanitya. Tatiksha. So, tatiksha is the opposite word. Tatiksha means tolerate. So there's a verse in the Bhagavatam spoken by Kakivadeva. Tatiksha Vakarunika. It begins like that. It's the sadhu bhushanam, the ornaments of a sadhu. The first out of this, so the ornaments of the sadhu is with their tolerance. Tolerance. The opposite is your tolerance. Someone, looking at you the wrong way, you're angry. Nations are coming, coming that way. Over there. But a sadhu is tolerant, different to those features of duality. Because you're situated in self. You're situated in reality, in spirit. And so they're indifferent to illusion or matter. Because which configuration matters today? Oh, that makes me happy, oh, that makes me unhappy. They matter. And what is this your name? So, Vidura was situated in Sat. Why do you say that Vidura was situated in Sat, or spirit? Because of who he was. Who was Vidura before he was Vidura? Looking at our younger generation here. You know who Vidura was before he was? Yamaraj, really? The other story is how Yamaraj became Vidura. There was a sage, and during the time that he was living, there were also some robbers, and the robbers were going around stealing, plundering, finding the village. They just became so unhappy. They decided they were going to get them. So they gathered up a group, a synthesized group of village people, trophy them, and they chased them, a group of robbers. I remember one time when I was at the people, we went to some home program down that way. And the very day that we had that program, they caught a group of thieves. You remember that? I remember it. I was trying to recall as we were driving up there. Which place was that? It was off the road, back in the back, and a little. So, the evening we went there, the village people caught the robbers, and they were very happy. They thought, oh, the Hare Krishna has brought us this system. He caught the robbers. You should come here and have here done well. We hope you don't have more robbers as a reason for us. So the robbers were running from the village people, and they went out of the village and into the forest and up into a mountain. They found an hermitage of what's the saint's name? The hermitage of the sage, and they hid themselves in this hermitage. So the villagers and got around the hermitage, and thought he was also one of them, because he was very intent on the fire, as were the robbers. So they were all arrested. And they were brought to justice, and they were all sentenced to death. And the reason for death was there was a platform that beneath the platform were raised swords. So they were the death, they were put in a public square, for everyone to see, this is what happens when you're a thief. You'll be killed if you're caught. We're going to catch you if you're a thief. So they were put on a platform. And one of the persons in the audience recognized, wait a minute, that's a sage, one of those people. So I went to the king and said, there's a sage on that platform. He wasn't one of the thieves. So he came and released the sage and Jesus forgiveness. What a great sign. My peace officer, they didn't know what he was doing, and he didn't know what I'm saying, and he just said, please, forgive us. You can take this mistake. But he went to Yamaraj. He went right to, he was so powerful, such a powerful thing, he went right to the court of Yamaraj and asked Yamaraj the following question. Why was I about to be put to death in this manner, falling on outraised swords and my whole body pierced with swords? He said, Yamaraj said, when you were a very small boy, you were playing with insects. Of course, our children don't do that today. You had sharp saws and you were piercing the body of the insects, the sharp saws. So for causing the insect that suffering, you would have suffered that death too. And the snake said, a small child is not responsible for their actions. What kind of karma are you about? I curse you. You don't know the sense of karma, Yamaraj. I curse you. You become a sutra. So he became a sutra. So the Yurad is actually very elevated. He's one Yamaraj. Position of Bhagavatam, he's one of the 12 great authorities. He's one of the 12 Mahajans. Who knows the list of the 12 Mahajans? The Bhagavatam, the Krishna, Shepherd, Bhagavatam, the Vinayam, the Vinayam. There's 12 Mahajans. They're cited in the 7 cantos in the Bhagavatam. And these 12 great authority amongst them, one of them is Yamaraj. Out of all the history of mankind, they are the most outstanding person against teaching any modern teaching can be compared. Are they valid? Are they worthy? You must ask the teaching to be compared to the Yamaraj is one of the truest. Even before he was born, Prabhupada writes in the first canto of Bhagavatam that Yamaraj has a very difficult task. All he does is simple people are brought to him. He knows what their sins are and he gives them punishment. And he's very busy. There's so many simple people. There's no time for anything other than punishing simple people. People won't even say thank you. Oh, thank you for the punch. What he really wants is to receive Krishna and to preach on Sakirtan and give the message of Krishna to others. So Krishna means that desire of Yamaraj to be fulfilled. You got to break from the Yamaraj for a while. One very qualified person, which this guy, took his post because the post had to be filled by somebody. And Yamaraj took purpose as well. So although he was of the three brothers, Dhritarashtra, Pondu and Mizora. He was the younger of the three, but he was the wisest of the three. And although he was born the son of a Shudrani, the maid servant of Amika, the third child was conceived by Vyasadeva. You know that whole story. The three brothers were born. Dhritarashtra, Pandu. You know that story? Not the name. So that's I'd like to tell that story for another time because I want it to become association. And a primary quality of devotees takes the association of qualified souls and avoids the association of unwholesome souls. And that's a quality of devotees. And how we like to take association is going to be very important. So, he was the youngest of the three brothers and of the born of the main servant of Amika. So he was considered by birth Shudra, so he wasn't qualified to be in the royal assembly. But he was at the same time promoted down to the three brothers. And he was treated with respect. But the oldest of the three and the middle of the three, both of them regularly took counsel because he was considered very wise, because he was very wise. Even before his elder brothers, Dhritarashtra and Pandu, were married, he was consulted who they should marry. The younger brother was consulted by Bhishma. Bhishma was their, like their father. He was their, like his uncle, he was their father's brother. He was the brother of their father, yeah. So, their father's brother. So he was their uncle. So he, in the absence of their father, the uncle took care of the marriage. He asked the younger brother, who did he marry? He was eventually advised in one passage in Mahabharata where he decided he was going to make his very best effort to convince Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra that he should stop the intrigue. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew exactly what was going on, but he wasn't going to stop it. We're trying to kill the converts. You know, in modern law, it's like in conflict with Christ. Jesus is as much a murderer as a sorcerer. He knew better. He's a king. But, you know, the upholder of government is a conflict with murder. Vidura spent the whole night, all night long, hammering his brother. And at the end of the night, his brother acknowledged all the points that you're making are well spoken. He was so disappointed. Hearing his views, I can't serve my brother. And he's paving his path to hell. It's very true, isn't it? So there was one of the intrigues that made the situation even worse. Well, there was an episode from Mahabharata where Drona, Dronacharya, She was a school parent with Drew Hutton. They went to school together. Drone Up was the son of Brahman, and Drupad was the son of King. So Kshatriya, Drupad, and a Brahman, Drona. And they grew up like some of them were doing. Really, buddy, close friends. They just were constant companions throughout the whole childhood. Drupad said, when I grow up and I inherit the kingdom of my father, you can be in my court, in my assembly, and I will maintain you as a king. You can be my advisor, my minister. It was a natural kind of affection of this. But something happened, unfortunately. Drupa became attached. In fact, he became proud and attached. So then later, when Dronacharya, he was a simple Brahmin, and he had this very special benediction that happened. He was in the forest one time and sort of saw Parashuram. And when he saw Parashuram, he immediately went to Parashuram and paid the obeisances to the chief of Parashuram and requested Parashuram to train him in the science of military art. Parashuram said, I refuse to train this to anyone with a Kshatriya, because you're a Brahmin, I will train you. Because Parashuram was also a Brahmin. And he was only going to teach a Brahmin. So because a Brahmin approached him, he trained Drona. So Drona was as skilled in military science as with Parashuram. And who can have a better teacher than Parashuram? But he was very poor, so poor that his son, Ashvatthama was his son, he couldn't even supply milk for his son. So he would mix rice powder and water to give back to him. But the other boys, the other Ramana boys, they knew he didn't get it. This was rice powder and water. Ashvatthama! So they made fun of Ashvatthama. And his woman was so unhappy, and so poor, I can't even give my son to him. So he went to this and grew up. He said, remember when we were going to school together, years and years, you made your promise, and you became king under me, and I have nothing. So can you please assist me, and I'll be glad to be a minister of your court. I have all these skills that I've gained from Parashuram. I can teach your royal family those skills. Drupa looked at it like, what are you doing? You're so insulting. Trying to make your heart so big. He just admits it because he can do it. I don't know who you are. I need to know your name. Insulting enough. No one was just hurt by the nerves, he was hurt by his dear friend. He's like that. And he's a king. A king that doesn't keep his word. What's the religious symbol of a king that can't keep his word? Because what is going to have? Not for himself, but for, because he had a solution. The wife of Rona was Kriti. And Kriti had a twin brother whose name was Kripal. So Drupa Sudrona was his wife's brother, Kripacharya, who was in the core of a family. And he wanted to seek some advice from him. What should he do in this position? Because what about Kripal? He had milk and copper hair and little old spots and the other brown points. So he was so clever, Drona, that as he was walking to the Hastinapur Palace, he saw those little boys, the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra and the 5 pandavas who were playing at the wall. And the ball was bouncing, bouncing, and fell as well, and was trying to hit the ball as well. So Drona came by. And Drona figured a very clever way by connecting the stick to the stick and pierced the ball and got the ball out of the well. Boy, wow. He's very good. Drona's good. So Drona then summoned Krip. And he indicated to Grandfather Bhishma, I have a suggestion. I have all the skills of military art that were given to me by Parashuram. I can train the entire Kuru dynasty, all the children in those same arts that Parashuram taught me. What do you think? Is that a good plan?
That's a good plan.
That's a good plan. What is it that you would like? He said he was explicit. He was a runner. He said, what I would like is, I'd like to help my dear friend Drupa become free from breaking into the irresistible, keeping his word. So I'd like to ask for Dakshin of these children when they're trained. And the Dakshin is to regain the kingdom of Drupa that he promised. He promised he would give me half his kingdom. Not that he was a minister, but he didn't have much interest. Bhishma understood exactly where he was coming from, indeed. The children were trained the final lesson to see. The final exam was the target of the little tree and asked each of them, what do you see? He said, we see the target, they see the fish, they see the fish, the target, and I said, I only see the eye and the fish. He scares the eyes of fish. I'm doing the death version. So that came Dakshin time. And Drupa, the Drona, said what he would like is the entire, all of their skills would be put to test. They should challenge Drupa in battle. And they should bring Drupa tied up in ropes like a prisoner and bringing before me. They were horrible. And the Bible would have said, you're capable of having to do it yourself. Go. Sit, step back and watch it. In 1,000, 100 sons with all the other military or army was defeated by Drupa. And then five Pandavas came forward, five Pandavas defeated Drupa. Showing that they were serious and they were motivated. And they brought Drupa tied up like a hostage and brought his standing to take them and drawn his model and said, now you are captured. And because you're my captain, the kingdom now belongs to me. But I'll tell you what. I'll give you that after kingdom. Because remember that promise you said that you would give me half of your kingdom when you grew up? But, so that word has been growing. I wanted to do that as word to get help. The half of the kingdom is mine and half of the kingdom is yours, like it should be. This is just so powerful. Drupa accepted, but in his mind, he wouldn't get back. Drona's mind wouldn't get back. Drupa's mind would get back. And so he engaged some priests in creating a yajna whereby he would have a son that would defeat Drona in battle. So Dhritarashtra and Bonus, Drupadi became a sacrificial father. Later Drupadi was married on God. And later Dhritarashtra, Drishtadyumna came out of the fire. Drishtadyumna was the killed Drupa. Dhritarashtra, Drishtadyumna killed Drona in the Drupa as well. As was Drupadi. So when this intrigue was going on, the corpus edifying Duryodhana, they were so upset, they had been upstaged by 500 out of his 100 of them. What they couldn't do, they were defeated. The Pandavas were victorious. They were seething with anger and envy. Around that time, Balaram, who was at that time living in Dwarka, he paid a visit to us in the fort to teach the boys the art of fighting with clubs. When he was in Hastinapur, he very quickly got a sense there was this intense energy between the Pandavas and Kauravas, the sons of Dhritarashtra and the sons of Pandu. Very, very intense. So he went back to Dwarka and reported that to Krishna. So what did Krishna do? Krishna said, I need more information. He's omniscient, he doesn't need more information. So he said, I need more information. So he requested one of his chief ministers, a clergy, the same minister that was engaged by Kamsa to bring Krishna to Mathura. Now he's in Dwarka. Krishna gave a clergy to go to Hastinapur and evaluate the situation, how serious is it. The phrase is very carefully reported at. So, when he went to Hastinapur, the first place he went was to Jivaduna. Because the Lord is so kind. He's interested in association.
He's got it.
I'm going to them. He's the
door.
So and shortly after they spent time together with the door, they went to go see Queen Kunti. They paid their respects to Kunti. And Akura asked Kunti, how are you, son? How are things going here in Hastinapur? And immediately Kunti made it. Forward. She's a very qualified person. You know, when she's been prepared and good example. How qualified. Immediately she had a short two sentences. She sounded up. Since my son defeated Drupa, the empathy has become so intense. I fear for the safety of my children. And when she's thinking of the safety of her children, who does she think of? Krishna. So immediately her thoughts went to Krishna. And she started speaking in such tones that he forgot she was in the presence of Vidura and the Akura. She started calling to Krishna. Krishna, why have you forsaken me? You are my only shelter. Krishna, you are my protector. You are my Lord and Master. Krishna, please help me. She practically lost consciousness. Because she became absorbed in thought of Krishna. And the Kurava and the Dura were just amazing at the level of her Krishna consciousness. But whenever the Dura spoke, by his word alone, listen to this, the Dura's word alone was sufficient. Releases amplifies the heart. She didn't refuse very much, she became immediately fully amplified. The door is dead. And the Akura agreed to use the voice. Please remember that your son is a demigod. You're not those little children. You know that. They can't be defeated by anybody. They're not in any danger of being defeated. Whoever confronts them, they're finished. And please remember that the observation itself the father of your husband, Shalu, said that these children will be a long life and they'll rule the whole world. And beyond the day, can't be wrong. So quickly, please stop being a person. This is such Sangha instead of Asa Sangha. Kunti is so hidden in the world. In such Sangha. Just by hearing, she begins to move this and is very happy. Kunti has to come. A person then stays for another 3 months. He has to make the information, and he stays very carefully in the special situation, prudently, cautiously, and looking at the situation, he was ready to return his blood and his cooperation. Listen carefully, this is an example of how an unqualified person cannot make good decisions. Just before leaving, Akura requested audience with the king, Dhritarashtra, that be Krishna's minister. Immediately he was offered the sack. Dhritarashtra gave the audience. And in a solitary situation, no one else was around, very confidential and private, Dhritarashtra, the group was on the line. He said 3 things to Dhritarashtra. He said, if one who lives by irreligion is sure to be complete. And Pandu was your brother. When you were very small, when you were both very small, Pandu was your younger brother, and he cared for you like you were just fine, because he was fine. You are completely dependent upon him. And now his son. You prepared not only to not give them their share of the kingdom, but to kill them. What is this like? Our dharma is sure to be destroyed by what I've done. He crossed the truth from here. And then he said, and by principle of dharma, the eldest son could become the inheritor of the property of the father, and the Pandavas are the inheritors of the kingdom. And you, by whatever means or justification, you deny that dharma principle. He's destroying himself. Please don't do this. Please consider. Then he says, even the past kingdom, please tell me what was your determination. Dhritarashtra heard everything. He said the same thing that he had been using since the Dora. All the advice that you're giving me is perfectly correct. But what can I do? I'm too attached. And because I'm attached, that bears its own destiny. But every now and then it's like that, to be working on the right, so there's no such thing as a I can't help myself. So the next day, of course, before the liberation, attachment to being in the position of being the enjoyer, it's so strong that even a good person can become corrupted. There's a nice example in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Krishna entered the cave of Jagavan to get the Shyamakapa jewel. And when Krishna entered the cave, he saw the Shyamakapa jewel sitting on a little table in front of the small child of Jagavan. But when they made the nurse of a small child saw Krishna enter the cave, she thought it was a sheep, and so she cried out. Or something like that. And Jalala came running. And when Jalala saw, here's somebody in the cave, here's my son, here's the jewel, he got a club and started fighting for Krishna. Jalala, he's a devotee, not a devotee. He's a pure devotee. But because of attachment, blinded by attachment, he couldn't even recognize his Lord and Master, the Lord of his life. You're a devotee. And fought with certain deities day and night. Finally, when he became so weakened and exhausted and pulverized by the fist of Krishna, then he realized, this is just a powerful opponent. There's nobody that's as powerful as this person. It's my Lord and Master. And he surrendered to Krishna. And Krishna just by touching the arms and shoulders and the body of Dhamma, he became completely touched just by the moving and touch of Krishna's hand. And he offered his jewel to Krishna, and he offered the Shamataka jewel and his daughter, Yamavati. So, due to attachment, even Dhamma, you are devotee. Couldn't recognize Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. What's the secret? So we should be very, very careful about attachment to those things of this world that are temporary and limited and perishable. Because it'll feel like our Krishna consciousness. Even if Krishna can change the game. Same as Krishna. That was his word. Anything that you say is right there. And get those without any protection. So you're paying. Get your place. So, after a curl in his back and reported to Krishna, this is because of the intrigue that has escalated, Satyaki, you know who is Satyaki? Satyaki is the brother of Gandhari. And who is Gandhari? Gandhari is his wife, or queen, Dhritarashtra. So when Dhritarashtra and Gandhari were married, very cities, after their marriage, in Gandhar, which is Kandahar in Afghanistan, that was the capital, the kingdom of Gandhar, which is called the Mountain King. The son accompanied his sister, or Satyaki accompanied his sister, to a new residence, Kamsa accompanied his sister, Devaki, to a new residence. Satyaki came to some time in Afghanistan and went back to Gandhar. But later when Dhritarashtra, when the Pandavas were, Satyaki had come back to Hastinapur. And he was the bad association. That the rotten apple spoiled the barrel. Do you have that expression here? One rotten apple can spoil the whole barrel. You have to eat a rotten apple so it doesn't spoil the whole barrel. Otherwise, the whole barrel could be very nice if you just lose that one rotten apple. And Satyaki was a rotten apple. He got very old in his years and said, we have to get rid of time. It's not just a matter of keeping the kingdom, keeping them away from the kingdom. They're very popular. A lot of people like them. We have to eliminate them. And I have a plan how we can eliminate them. The house of the last plan is a huge plan. And he said, and I know how you can get your father to go along with it. Even though I know that your father is blinded, not only his vision, but his good sense is blinded by his senses. He is not doing the best for anything. So you go to him. First I'll send a nice advisor. Or something like that in the advisors, but all of them. And I'll request my brother-in-law to take advice from a good minister. A good minister is always the same thing. You gotta get rid of people. That's not a matter of, you know, like getting them another place. You made them into Prussia. There's a fossil, you need to get rid of them. And they're too powerful, you can't eliminate them by tyranny. That's what we're going to make this life. We will use that to do that kind of life. Otherwise, every day that they should move soon, with every day that passes, they'll become more popular, your son will become more disturbed, and they'll have less influence in your son's continuous. You have to offer. That's not a serious life. The Dhritarashtra is so upset hearing this advice, and their yogi came to see him. He said, Father, I cannot live on the same planet as these five brothers. Either they go or I go. I'll take my life if I got to live on the same planet as those. And you're so strong, you know? I have a plan how to destroy it. And then you don't have to say yes. Just go with your period of time. And then he describes the plan. The house will last for us. And I have just a man of joy. And the father protested. He had some goodness in him. But he's just too attached.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing.
But after threatening to take his own life and tempting with his transcendence, the corruption was silent. He didn't say no. Or he didn't say yes, but he didn't say no either. True, Sakyaki's bad apple association. The bad tendencies of Duryodhana became inflamed. And when the bad tendencies of Duryodhana became inflamed, the passengers from his father made him further blinded. The whole domino effect worked through bad association. So as devotees, we want to be kind and merciful and friendly to all, but we also want to be very careful about the only incidents we associate. Even karma. When he heard this plan, he said, terrible. It was a terrible plan. We're Kshatriyas. Let us stand and fight and win a valorous victory and defeat the Kauravas and defeat the Pandavas. See how mighty we are. Sakyaki says, be quiet. You're a little boy. You don't understand things properly. What do you mean with a powerful Kshatriya? They're so powerful, they will lose. So, karma stormed out. I can't agree with it. You want to get engaged in a fight, count on me. You want to do something treacherous, don't count on me. I will tell on you, but I'm not going to predict it. But because he was an intimate friend of Duryodhana, He eventually shrugged it like the Nolan, without association. He's karma. For the self-pumpy. The son of the sun god became corrupted by bad association. Even the son of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, became corrupted through bad association. You know that, right? Narakasura, otherwise known as Omasura. Who is Omasura, the son of? It's described in the 10th chapter. When Varadev picked up Bhumi on his tusks to rescue Mother Earth from the bottom of the Bhagavad Ocean, because the earth had fallen out of orbit because of Hiranyaksha's misdeeds. By contact with Mother Earth, a son was born. Bhumi and Krishna gave birth to Rama, gave birth to Bhuma, and Bhuma became, through that association, became Bhuma's world. Krishna's gift. These are different examples of how, by good association, by bad association, even a good person can become bad. And by good association, even an ordinary person can become good, or a bad person can become good. By good association. So, the chief characteristic of a devotee is a asa sangha yara. A Vaishnava has the quality of the devotion is to give up the intimate association of unwholesome people. First purpose of human characteristics. You see, social incentives for corporal to that person, an intimate association with devotees. If you get an association with devotees, and especially devotees who are attached to cut, like the Dura. Or Arjuna, very attached to Krishna. What God is very attached to Krishna. And attached to the process of devotional service, of purifying one's existence to become qualified to meet Krishna. Last Mahabharata episode, when Akura was insulted by Duryodhana. He was insulted when he was advising Dhritarashtra, you bring ruination to your dynasty, to your kingdom, to yourself, to your whole family, because of maintaining this good person, your son. The bad apple that got spoiled by the first bad apple. You're going down the path of irreligion. That which, the merit that you've gained that enables you to take birth in the Kaurava dynasty and become in the position that you're in, you're misusing that. One misuses some strength that's given to someone, a position that's given to someone because of previous merit, and you misuse it. You're destroyed by that issue. It's very clear to me what's happening. You're going to lose your kingdom and lose all of your sons, everything that the Brahmin community made in the very clear. It was too much for the other. Something fantastic. And such a person as you, who is a friend of the enemy, should be driven out of the palace at once. There's nothing but the breath of life means just be beaten, 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 and stinks. So there's nothing left but the breath of life. That's what we're talking about. Vidura didn't feel hurt or bad acts. He felt there's no service for me. All I want is to try to serve Krishna, to serve my dear brother, Dhritarashtra. There's no such thing. I'm able to hear this person so bad. So bad at it. And probably think, to qualify myself as those being deficient. And Prabhupada made me the question, writing the purport. He was so familiar with Krishna, he could have just gone to Krishna. And Krishna would have accepted him at once. But he was feeling, because of the bad association that I've had here in Palace Life, with Rashna, Rodana, and Dushasana, Shakuni, and Satyati, bad association. I need to hear from this before I become a Krishna. So let me go on to only to purify myself, try to qualify to become a Krishna. That's how a devotee, we're not on the endurance caliber of devotee, we don't have situations like when Toyota is sending him either, generally happens. Yeah, power of the temple, beaten with sticks, with nothing, with the breath of life. And he's happy. So the time, before anything happened, because he'd already tried to do something like that with Krishna. He tried to seize Krishna. Krishna showed his universal form, right? Tell us. And he went that well. Krishna walked out peacefully. They can look, they can take a more than anything. So before anything happens. He left the palace. He left his bow and arrow by the door. Signifying, I don't have to make this decision about fighting. Bhishma, he has to make a decision. Grandfather Bhishma is being maintained by the same so-called royal family. So he's duty now to fight on behalf of them. And I would be also. Except now I don't have to. Krishna's very kind. Krishna's very kind, and Krishna's very kind. That's how a devotee responds to a bad association situation. Krishna gives me the opportunity to elevate my consciousness and become purified. That's our acharya, our example. We should follow the example. That is the thing. So we should follow the example of his word. Take shelter of difficult situations and the opportunity presented by Krishna to purify himself. That's it. We avoid unwholesome associations. If some awful remark or some abusive thing done by an upset personality, an unwholesome personality, you may not strive to take shelter of stuff, and you may not be sure about that. King Krishna is giving me an opportunity to feel. If you get that mentality, come through for this. If you get that mentality, he has a big problem because of that get-back mentality. Anyone that maintains a get-back mentality, he gets drawn right into the teacher's duality like that. You're stuck into illusions immediately. Same situation is stuck. It's deeply associated with that person who are devoted. Cut. Sangha. Take the association of taking virtue and elevate consciousness is exactly what the universe is. And as a result, he became Mahabharata Vaishnava. He was already an elevated person. But he became a topmost devotee because he followed that path. The Mahabharata Vaishnava. Any questions or comments from anybody? Yes. She deserves respect. Being cursed? No. Well, you know, these things you can say yes or no. Existence. Because, as it turns out, the saint wasn't killed by sword. Because he was relieved of that by the citizens who recognized him as the saint. So he wasn't killed, but he was put in a distressful situation. But the distressful situation was all ultimately an orchestration of the internal potency so that Yamaraj could become the guru and participate in Krishna's pastime, which he did. So it was like kind of like a backdoor arrangement instead of a front door arrangement, but by the internal potency. So the stage acts as an instrument of Krishna's internal potency to assist the Kura, to assist Yamaraj to have that opportunity. Your specific question was it legitimate or was it commensurate with the wrong that Yamaraj did when he first became Shudra? One of the lessons in relation to Narada's cursing Nalakovara and Manigriva, there's many other situations like that where one sage curses, even another one sage curses another sage and vice versa. Behind the curse of benediction, generally, was a qualified personality. Behind that, the immediate thing was very bad, but the ultimate thing was better than before they were cursed. They're given a great opportunity to be able to see what looks like something like that. How to apply that in our lives is we shouldn't go around cursing people. First of all, we're not qualified to do something. And second of all, we shouldn't do such things even if we were qualified. But these are, you know, qualified people. What's his name, Katvanga? No. Okay. Don't you? Carry on. Devotees are what? Yeah, there are reverses. As applied to us, totally invalid. We're not instruments of the internal potency sufficient to do such things as with the same thing. But there are qualified persons who can do such things. An example is Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada would speak very strongly sometimes, and then he would say to his disciples, you cannot do like this. And he would say simply, because I'm older, I can do like this. You know, but supposing somebody gets older, they're still not qualified to do like this. You don't have the qualification. The Prabhupada has the qualification. He could speak very, very strongly. And, as you say, get away with it. You know, first he would improve someone's character by strong speaking. Whereas we can't do that. You don't have it. You don't have security. You don't have it. And without security, you don't have the force. You don't have the focus. You can't do anything. Trace the knowledge. You must not have the same trace of knowledge. So when reversals come our way, our training and thus our response should be a very, very different position. That of taking the humble position. Like a very nice example of this is the humble position is the personality describing himself non-I-ness. When his gatekeepers were cursed by the fourth monarch, he came at once. He took full responsibility and was pleading with the fourth monarch after honoring them in a proper manner. He took the position like a son who may be spoken harshly to by his father. Caius then becomes to speak harshly back to his father, to speak with smiling face and a happy demeanor to pacify his father. I am doing the same with you. I am like your son. Peter. Or for the brother, I am like your son, and coming before you with full palm, stooping to please you, to change your anger, which was perfectly appropriate. Now, aside from whether or not it was appropriate, called by speak in that connection, we should have this policy, not imitate, we should drop this policy. As Vaishnavas, there are wrongs, but there are reversals that will come our way. Just by the nature of being in this world. And this example, the behavior of Lord Narayana, is a good example for us. That's how we do this. With pleasant demeanor and genuine affection for the other party. Even if they have that person is noble. He means very much. That's our transcendental teaching. To do that, may have its challenges, but that's our teaching. To come to that position. Anything else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.